Well, I noticed some of you have your scriptures here with you today. So if you do, you can turn in your Bibles to the book of Luke. And this will not be a strange scripture for many of us here. It's just coming from a different one of the Gospels, Luke chapter 10. And it's verse 27 that we're going to be looking at and examining and finding out what pastor, you know, when we read this, you're going to think to yourself, where does "Here I am, Lord"? Because many of you probably looked at that and thought, oh, we're going to be singing "Here I am, Lord." No, we're not singing it. The question is, are you there? You know, "Here I am, Lord." Because when we look at Luke 10, it calls for us to be somewhere. It calls for us to be active with this word. And the word is this: "For thus saith the Lord," from the 27th verse of the 10th chapter of Luke. "And he answered, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." Now, in the book of Luke, it is one of the people that is questioning Jesus who answers it. In the book of Matthew and in the book of Mark, Jesus is the one who answers the question. So we have here two different reports, because in one report, Jesus was the one giving this answer. And in this report, it's a person giving the answer. And I chose this one because of the statement that I'm using in the homily: "Here I am, Lord." Because if we are going to be the ones to answer this question, that I shall love the Lord with all my heart and with all my soul and with all my strength and with all my mind, and love my neighbor as myself, that calls for me to be somewhere. It calls for me to be available to God, doesn't it? It calls for me to be in His presence, that I have to be seeking Him out. It's one thing for the Lord to tell us that's where we need to be, but it's another thing for us to say that's where we need to be. And Jesus' response to this gentleman is very real. And I want you to look at that response, because this response is the response of Christ to each and every one of us. "You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live." Wow. You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live. Do you know in the scriptures, whenever a person would ask Jesus a question about the law, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" Do you know what Jesus would say to them? He would turn them right back to the law. Okay? He would turn them right back to the law, because they were asking about the law. And the only thing you get in the law is the law. It's a trap. I mean, that sounds terrible, because it's God's word. The law is God's word. But it's a trap, because none of us can fulfill the law, because we're all sinful. So therefore, it holds us. It holds us to our very sin. And we can't be set free. But the amazing thing is, when those came to Jesus and they asked for mercy, did Jesus send them to the law? Exactly not, because those people were longing to have a relationship with Jesus, not to have their piety examined. And so much of the church is all about piety. "Well, I go to church every Sunday." You know what? Satan comes to church every Sunday too. In fact, he's in church every time the doors are open. Do you think he's getting into heaven? I don't believe. But I do believe that that door is available for you and I. But that door has a name. He has a name. And his name is Jesus Christ. And he says, "Love me with all your heart. Love me with all your strength. Love me with all your mind. Love me with all your soul." And I know I got them out of order there, but that's okay. "And then love your neighbor as yourself." When we think about that, are we there? Are we there? Are we available to Him? Are we opening that door to Him? Because He stands at the door and knocks. You know, it's so funny because we don't put this stuff together. He stands at the door and knocks. Are we available to answer the door, to open the door? He's not going to force the door open. We have to open it to Him. And in our lives and in who we are, you know, when you think about this, if you love the Lord your God with all your heart, what does that mean? What does that mean? If you love Him with all your heart, this is an interactive sermon. This is a Wednesday. I'm wearing blue jeans. What does that mean? If you love the Lord your God with all your heart, there's no wrong answers here on Wednesday, okay? There's no theological professor here. You put Him first? Exactly.
And so when that
heart beats, Christ is there. Very good. Awesome. Awesome. Anybody else? What does it mean to love the Lord your God with all your heart? 100%. That's the word all, isn't it? How many of us give all? We may give A-L, but not A-L-L, right? We'll give al, but not all. Amen. Amen. When we love the Lord our God with all our heart, that means everything that we are, okay? Your heart is what you are. That's who you are. When I look at Nancy, I know who Nancy is because of the way you've brought yourself to me. You've shown yourself to me. Are you giving that to God? All that you are, okay? That's your heart. That's all that you are. That's mind, body, soul, the whole nine yards, right? Okay, your heart, it's your entire being. Well, then it says, love the Lord your God, with the second question here, or the second sentence. It says, love Him with all your soul. What's your soul? Your spirit. I heard somebody say your spirit. Okay, what's your soul? The part that's only known to God. Ooh! We're talking that Twilight Zone stuff, right? How can we make that real? How can we make that real? You know, it's only known to God. We don't even know it. Do we? I dare say we do, because it's into our soul that God speaks. It's into our soul that God has breathed the breath of life. It's into our soul that God has transformed us. Okay? Please remember, we are spirit beings. Okay? And it's the spirit that recognizes the spirit. That's where the Holy Spirit really dwells, is within our spirit, because we are returning back to the Father. Isn't that cool when you start thinking about that? This is your eternal part of you, the part that never dies. Never dies. Doesn't matter where you go, it's the part that never dies. It will live forever because it was given to us by God at the time of creation. And when we procreate, it is passed on to our children and to their children and to their children and to their children and to their children. It's called the spark of life. That's what I love to call it, the spark of life. And it's so cool because one of the things I learned in my, you know, I don't know what you folks do. I don't watch TV anymore. So I constantly look things up on the internet and what have you, and because that's how where I do my research, because I'm sick and tired of everything that I'm being lied to on television. So I turn to the internet and there's more lies there than there was on television. Anyhow, in some of my research, one of the things that I found out is that when an egg and a sperm come together and that life is created, literally there is a spark. There is literally a spark. A light can be seen. Scientists have been examining this and watching this, and they literally have it filmed, okay? It is a millisecond, okay? 1/1,000,000th of a second. That's all the longer it is, but it is literally a visible light. That energy is released from the one to the other, and in that energy transfer, light is created. What was the first thing God created? Light. And from that light came all life. Think about that. We're talking in the depth of darkness, okay? In a mother's womb, there's no light in there. But to have life, there has to be light. And God, in conception, brings light. Brings life. And that's when the soul is transferred. That's when the fingerprint of God touches each and every one of us. That's the part of you that knows that without a doubt, I'm going to see heaven one day. Love the Lord your God with all your soul. It's the life-giving force within you. How's that grab you? Let's move on. He says, and love the Lord your God with all your strength. Oh boy, us men, we can grab a hold of that one. That means my muscles. The older I get, the less of that I have. But with all our strength, with everything that is within me, with all my drive, with all my energy, with everything that I am. And you know, this is kind of amazing because since Sunday, I have had an energy level that is so flipping high, I don't know how to contain it. I haven't had a pain. I feel wonderful. I feel like doing jumping jacks, but I know I shouldn't. So I won't. I was going to say cartwheels, but yeah, that would really be out there. So jumping jacks is more my level. But it's so amazing because right now, that energy, that all that is within me, I need to pour it out. And you know, there are some days, let me ask you this. How many days do you have where there's just no strength in you? The world has just gotten us down and there's nothing left. Do you know what God says to do with even that? Love Him with it. For in our weakness, His strength is made perfect. So when you don't feel like it, go there anyhow. And He will lift us up. When we love the Lord our God with all our strength, with all our energy, with all our effort, with all the power and drive that is within us, do you think God's going to take it away? Because isn't that what happens when we use our strength, our energy? It gets sapped, doesn't it? It gets pulled away. Well, it's amazing to me because when I rely on God and when I give Him all my strength and all my energy, it amazes me how He seems to just fill me up and I can do even more things. You know, and I've seen this, and I know some of you have too, because how many times have you been involved in a ministry somewhere? How many times have you been at a place, and I'm going to pick on the folks who went down to Mississippi during the Katrina time, and any of you who've been on a missions trip, or any of you who've been involved in, let's say, an emergency situation, okay? How many of you saw things being done or were able to accomplish things that you'd have never thought you'd have never thought you'd have been able to accomplish? And all of a sudden, there it is. I mean, I can remember being down in Mississippi in Biloxi, and we had this job to do, and they were planning on us doing it for a whole week. We did it in one day. We had it done. We gutted an entire house, tore everything out, cleaned everything up, that it was sitting there bare bones, and they said, well, we don't have anything else for you to do the rest of the week. We figured it'd take you folks a week to do that. It took us 8 hours. That's loving the Lord your God with all your strength. And He multiplies it. You know, God is so real. He says that when we plant those seeds, okay, when we take those seeds of faith and we put them out there, He will bring us a harvest 30, 60, 100 fold. If you love the Lord your God with all your strength, if you pour all that seed right back into Him and He's going to multiply it 30, 60, 100 fold, how much are you going to be able to accomplish? Wow, how many of us, you know, I'm 54. I need to be living that way because I can't do what I did when I was 23. But I want to. My brain keeps saying, yeah, go ahead, do that. And I start doing that and my body says, don't do that no more. Been there, done that, right? You young people are like, what's he talking about? You'll get there too. I want you to think about what it means. What does it mean to love Him with all your strength? And then finally, the last one, he says, and love Him with all your mind. Wow. This is the hard one. This is the really difficult one. Because that means every time you think a thought, you have to take it captive in Christ Jesus. So when you're about ready to spit out about how that waitress just really torqued you off, that means you need to sit back and just say, you know what, maybe she had a bad day and I need to pray for her and give her an even bigger tip. How would we look as Christians if we really did think about other people's needs and other people's lacks? It's kind of funny because the Lord set me straight on that one just today. I was telling my wife about it. Went to Wally World. You want a lesson in Jesus Christ? Go to Wally World. Went to Wally World. I needed grape juice and bread. I went in, they had all the bread I wanted. They had more types of grape juice than you could shake a stick at. Picked up my stuff, this is easy. I go to the cash register and that's where I met God. I'm standing there in line, I've looked through the lines, oh, yep, this one's the shortest, I get in this line. And the gentleman standing at the register, elderly gentleman, I'm not being racist in any means, so I'm not going to tell you anything more than he was an elderly gentleman. He pulls out his card, gives it to the lady. He doesn't know how to use a credit card. Well, it's not a credit card. It's like the welfare cards that they have, okay? Access, okay? So she takes it, and she's running it through the machine. And I'm sitting there looking at her like, flip it over. The barcode's pointing up. It's not down in it. Flip it over. She's running it through the machine. She runs it through five times. I'm like, oh, Lord, I got to get to church. Oh, no, this was at 5 o'clock, okay? I had plenty of time when I started. Wally World's 5 minutes away. Why do I need to go at noon, right? And now I know why to go at noon. Long in the story, I got out of that line. After 7 minutes standing behind them, I said, I'm going to be here forever. I got out of that line, got into the line. There was only one person here. Hey, we'll be great. Got behind this person, and they rung through. Boop, doop, boop, doop, boop, doop, boop, doop. Gets her blue card out, an access card. She runs it through the machine. Beep-doop. Insufficient funds. Lord, I gotta go. These people are on welfare and they're trying to do things they don't know how to do. We're paying for all of them. Do you hear my mind? Do you hear my mind? How many of our minds would have been there too, right? Long of the story, it took me 5 minutes to go through the store and shop. It took me 35 minutes to get through the checkout line. I get in my car and I'm heading home. And as I'm heading home, the Lord says to me, you loved me on that one, didn't you? And I said, no, Lord, I didn't, because I didn't think about those people in their situation, where they are, what's happening in their lives, the fact that I'm blessed and I have more than I need. We are so quick to judge with our minds. But would we see the need of that elderly man who's living in a society that has so outgrown him in technology that he doesn't even know how to pay for his groceries anymore? Are we seeing that mom who's having such a hard time because she's a single mom with kids, probably working, and still having a hard time getting by and just being able to buy some groceries and a few pieces of clothing? We're so quick to judge. But if we would love God with all our mind, we would not think about those things. We would think on those things that are good, noble, loving, kind. Those are the things that we should think on. Those are the things that we should pray on. That's the life we should lead. Because when we're doing that, we're actually loving God. We're showing Him that, Lord, You have captive my mind. I'm seeing things the way You see them. I'm not seeing things the way I perceive them. I'm not bringing my stuff to the plate. I'm emptying my plate. And I want Yours. Because Yours is filled with compassion and mercy and grace and strength and glory and honor. And that's where we need to be, each and every one of us. Now, yes, there are people out there who take advantage, aren't there? That's between them and God. Is our heart right? Are we here for God to love Him as He has loved us? And to give Him all our heart, all our strength, all our mind, and all our soul. Again, I got them mixed up. God doesn't care where we are, just that we're available to Him. Because wherever we are, He already knows it, doesn't He? And He'll take us from that place to the place where we can truly say with all our hearts, with no other agenda, here I am, Lord. Because when we go to prayer, how many times do we come saying, Dad, I want, rather than, here I am, Lord. Tell me what You want. Today, I hope we can change that. Today, I hope we can begin a season of Lent where we're looking and we're asking God, here I am, Lord. What do You want, Dad? What would You have of me? That He may transform our lives to the heart of Jesus Christ. Because I'll guarantee you, when Jesus got away to pray, He wasn't telling Dad what to do. He was going for instruction. And that's what we need to go for, to make ourselves available, just to love Him with all our heart, love Him with all our soul, love Him with all our strength, and love Him with all our mind. So today, as we get ready to go to communion, I want that to be your focus. I want that to be your desire, your draw here through this time of Lent. Because as we go into Lent, we're going to be talking about healing and how God alone can touch us and move us and bring to us that wholeness, that we will be 100% whole, mind, body, soul, and strength, okay? Because in that, then, we can truly be a church that affects not just our community, but our entire world. And that means changing your world. How would you like to be able to do that? Change your world. That's what we're supposed to be doing. As we begin to move to these tables, I pray that as we open this communion, that, Lord, You would help us to focus, to simply say, here I am, Lord, and to love You with all our heart, to love You with all our strength, to love You with all our soul, to love You with all our mind, and to love our neighbors as ourselves, that we may go into our community and truly bring the presence and peace of Christ, that everyone we meet may see Him, may see You, Lord Jesus. Guide us, we pray Thee, in Jesus' name. Amen, Lord Jesus.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.